the very beautiful Joan Baez.
Show that is Joan Baez singing 50 something years ago, 1963, I believe it was. Yes, that's 52 and a half years ago, the summer of 63, at a big march, one of the most historic marches ever in this country, probably the most. And Dr. Martin Luther King gave that great speech, I Have a Dream, and the civil rights movement was on its way. Boom. I mean, big time. It was already on its way, but it went further. I have a lot of information about not only him, but a guest that we did a promotion that was going to be on is not able to come on. He had a medical emergency, and that is Clyde Belcourt, the founder and director of AIM, American Indian Movement. He is in the Minnesota area. He has been a Native American for many years, since they said the group started 50 years ago. So he can't be here, but we're going to talk about the Native American issues. We're going to talk about Dr. Martin Luther King, civil rights, and I've got some very good information about how Dr. King was murdered. It wasn't by Earl Ray. It was a conspiracy. They wanted to kill him for various reasons, which I'll explain when you hear that part of the show. So hang in with us in the show. It's going to be a good one. History, Dr. Martin Luther King, the Native American issues that we've been speaking about. Well, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had a little bit about it. And I will come to these issues again in about a month or two, depending on our guests. Sometimes things happen, but I'm very blessed and lucky to have Stefan Rudolph. He is a co-host of the show. Stefan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Bobby, great to be on again with you. Always great to have you and the show and what we do for people as far as let's create a better world. I love being on the show and telling others about how they can enrich their lives, and especially today with Martin Luther King Day, great time to talk about progressive movements and growth.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, and you always do a wonderful job, Stefan, and I'm glad you're a super sub, as you know. you do regular shows with us, and in the next few weeks, we're going to do a show with you and me, or you and me and Dr. Wren, or any combination of two of us that I just mentioned. Because Dr. Wren from New Jersey is another co-host. She is really involved in holistic affairs, and she's in her mid-30s, young, but she's moving fast. And you're doing a wonderful job, too. You know, you're in your 40s, and you had a problem with that we'll talk about towards the end of the show, but I'd like you to fill in when you break in and make comments about anything that I say. We always cherish your comments. You might want to take notes as I go along, because I got a lot of stuff about how they killed Dr. Martin Luther King, and also about the latest what's going on in Standing Rock and the North Dakota Access Pipeline. There's a lot there, and we're probably going to have to fill in more on the Native American issues on another show upcoming. I'll make sure we have one or two guests ready to fly in case one can't make it. I got the other one. I had to do that because sometimes last minute people don't make it. I'm sure you understand that, Steph. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
That song we heard, everyone, Joan Baez, 1963 at the big march that Dr. Martin Luther King had. She was in her 20s then, and she's in her 70s now and still alive and kicking. She's not singing as much, at least that I know of, not as she was when she was in her 20s and 30s, back in the 60s and 70s. She was big. Civil rights, she was a real civil rights warrior with music, songs, and her own way of life. And she was a wonderful person. You know, we should try to get her on the show, Steph. You know, that would be great because she knows a lot about what happened back then. Anyway, I'm Bobby Elias. Our show is Let's Create a Better World, as Bon just mentioned. And our second theme is Body, Mind, Spirit, Aging, Living Longer. So that's the nut of it. Okay, I'm going to open up and start by talking about the Native American issues. Then we're going to move right quickly into the civil rights issue right away after about 10 minutes. I do want to just first give a little shout-out about what we're doing in the near future. Our show's upcoming. We've got some great guests coming up with different issues. Next week we have Christine Gekas. It's pronounced G-E-K-A-S. That's a Greek name, by the way. And she is wonderful. She's going to talk about what people can do for the new year, how to erase all the bad thoughts we have. And Stefan, I want you to be with me on that show because you went through all this yourself and you rehabbed yourself. So, and I think
most definitely, yes, I'll be there.
Good, good. And because she is just she's a hypnotherapist, but she's also has a lot of ideas and ways. If we have depression, loneliness, sadness because of the recent holidays or because of the new year or whatever, because there are so many Americans that are in that boat, as we all know. So she will give you answers as to what you can do, a quick fix on your own. And she'll talk about some of the ways that we can change all that for not only individually, but as a group and just in general. She has got some great information. She was on our show about 4 or 5 months ago, and people asked to get her back. So she's back. Next Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time. That would be January the 23rd. So be sure to tune in on that show. And in future weeks after that, we have more of a lineup, which I'll give at the end of the show. And also that song that we heard, we'll try to play the whole thing or most of it at the very end of the show. That's why we're going to try to wrap up the show a little early so we can do that. And in the future, I want to have classic songs, where we have one at the beginning, one at the end, or if it's a great song that we want to have both end and front, for beginning and end, we'll do that too. I'm excited, as you can tell. I live and die with this radio show because it's so important to give you the latest, newest information, research on health, on aging, living longer, telomeres. We've got some great, great guests. Now, I want to give you a number to put down. Please take this number down. Two numbers I'm going to give you. One I've given you before, and I'll give it to you again. This is a number you can call to hear the show on your phone, on someone else's phone. I have two numbers for that. We're starting to get people to call the number I'm going to give you right now because the other number's been getting flooded. More people listen to Garrett. 26-27% is the latest number. Of all shows heard by phone, internet shows are heard, listen to PRN, Progressive Radio Network, by far the number one station in the world. So we're blessed. The number to call to hear this station is 605-562-5119. Again, 605-562-5119. The second number, which we've given to you before, and I'll give it to you again right now, is area 701. Let me start over. Area 701-801-3662. Now, here's the best number of all. I encourage you to call our archive number because I've got the first button number one and two are the shows we had just recently during the holidays that were great, great shows. The number to call to hear the five most recent shows that are up on the archives, here's the number. Area 701-719-9976. Again, 701-719-9976. That's the show to hear. Wait a minute. Hold on. You know what? That's Gary's number. You can call that number here, Gary Knowles Shows. Let me give you my archive number. I'm sorry about that. I'm just too excited, man. Doing this show is, and Stefan and I had to sub in because, like I said, our guest didn't show up at the last minute. He had a medical emergency at the last minute, so here we are. Anyway, here is the number to call for my archives. Area 701-719-0994. I'll give it to you again in a second. But that number, I have five shows on there, five recent shows. Hit button number one and two. Button number two is many people claim it's our best show ever, and that's with Ellie Lacks, the Gentle Barn. She's Animal Refuge, but she's really into curing the world's issues with love, curing animals with love, helping children learn about love through animals. She and her stories is incredible. From the time she was 7 years old, a teenager, how she, her goal and her dream all her life was, her mother told her, you can't have animals here. When you get older, you can have all the animals you want. And she didn't forget that. And it's a great, great show. And now the show, that's button number two. On button number one is a show by Dr. Christine Horner, who at one time was, Gary Nolan's been trying to get her on one of his films about health. She is a holistic health doctor turned from a plastic surgeon to a holistic doctor with all kinds of, she's studied and researched as much as any doctor ever over the last 20 years. The newest, latest things on living longer, on health, on aging, on body, mind, spirit, on other countries. For example, Ayurveda from India. She gets into that. She will get into it more when we have her on again in March. She's going to be a regular here because she's so good, and so is Ellie Lax, and so is some other ones like Dr. Wendy. So here we go. The number, once again, to call for my archives number on Let's Create a Better World, not just mine, but Stefan's also. Stefan's a big part of the show, is area 701-719-0994. Oh, I'm excited, man. Let me tell you. Okay. Stefan, we're going to get the show off the road here. I know you're ready. You're going to be with me the whole hour, right?
Yeah, I'll be here with you and definitely fired up about it.
Oh, good. I'm super fired up, as you can tell. And it's good to hear that somebody else is fired up here. All right, here we go. The show. First, we're going to start talking about a little on the Native American issue, Standing Rock. First of all, our guest was from AIM. AIM stands for American Indian Movement. It was started approximately 50 years ago by the person who was going to be our guest, Clyde Belcourt. He is in the Midwest area all over the place with different Native American groups. He started this group. They're all over the place, and they're doing a lot of great work. Now, he wanted to talk about, he and I were going to talk about Standing Rock. Standing Rock, for those of you that don't know a lot about it, I'll give you a quick review. It is in North Dakota. It's an access pipeline that the government wants to put in. The Army has been working on it. And this goes along right close to the, not only the Colorado River, but the Missouri River. And if that thing ever breaks, which it could happen, then all the water will be contaminated badly. And well, guess, you know what? Native Americans live all along these areas, not only the Minnesota area, but other areas nearby, other states nearby, where many, many Native American tribes have been for many, many, many years. So that is an issue that we're going to talk about. Now, some things have happened over there back about a month ago. I put on the show, we had some guests, and we talked about what happened to the Standing Rock issue. Standing Rock is a place in North Dakota where there people have gone all from all over the country have come there to protest this horrible, horrible access pipeline. Who runs the access pipeline? Well, a conglomerate of corporations, greedy people that just have only one interest at heart, money. Big issue going all the time. These people want to keep that pipeline going. Trump has money invested in that. So do many other billionaires. So do some of his buddies that are, he's been named the cabinet. They're all billionaires, and they're all they care about is money. They don't care about you or me. All of them have done things to help each other. They go to bed with each other. They make money with each other. And do they care about you or me? No, not a bit. Okay, so the access pipeline is a terrible, terrible situation. Now, what happened about 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, gradually, a lot of people went to North Dakota at Standing Rock to help the tribe. The Sioux tribe has been protesting, and the numbers blew up from hundreds to several thousand. And then, right, a great, great thing happened. The soldiers, the armed forces, all the different ones, 4,000 to 5,000 came. It ballooned to 5,000 towards the end. Came gradually and all at once, and they announced they were going to do this. And my theory is that the government knew this. The Army knew this. And that's when they came in and they said, okay, we're going to stop the pipeline, and which was a minor victory for the Native Americans, but not a total victory, because the old things happen out there. They could change any minute now. especially with this front coming in. So it was a minor victory, and this a gentleman named Chief Archibald, one of the leaders, said this. He said, in all the history of my life, I've never seen us win anything. The broken promises, broken treaties, and the lies, and the deception, and the hurting of our people, taking our language away, suffering of our people. And I've seen nothing but negative. And this time, this is the first time we've won even a little bit. Not a full victory, but it's a minor victory. And that's what he said, and that's true. The whole process of what's going on over there, these soldiers, these Army, Navy, Marines, came in droves to balloon to from 4,000 to 5,000 to back up. There were also celebrities there. There were non-profit agency leaders, organizations there, movement groups, and other Native American groups came in force. And it was such a strong thing. And this, we're talking about freezing weather, 0 degrees. It was freezing. It was snowing. I mean, this is a terrible time of the year to do anything there. But they came. And people got sick, and they came for a few days, some of them, some for a week, some for, are still there. And here's what the leader said. Wes Park Jr. was the one that organized a number of the veterans, along with some help from some other staff guys. They got them to come, and they asked for time to talk to the Native American leaders. So they went into this big tent. Many of them got in there and filled it up as much as possible. Not all of them, because there was only so much room in the tent. And Wes Clark Jr. told the Native Americans, he started out by saying, we're going to get on our knees to ask for your forgiveness, but I want you to hear what we've done to you, and we're so sorry. He said, we have ruined your people, your land, your sacred mountains. We put presidents on there. We took away your language, your culture. We brainwashed your children. We've hurt and killed many of your people. We had many promises and treaties, and we broke them. We hurt you in so many ways. My friends, by now, some of the soldiers and some of the natives were crying. His speech was so beautiful. This is one of the most heartwarming talks ever. I'm telling you, because I heard the talk over the phone from a friend that taped it, and I read it in the newspaper. I have the whole thing written up. I read it about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and so they were on their knees all this time, the leaders, the soldiers, and Marines and Navy. And so the leaders, of the Native American leaders, told them thank you. And they accepted their forgiveness. And they all got up, they cried, and they hugged. It was just the most heartwarming thing you can think of people gathering together to make peace and to at least, for the time being, one set of people ask for forgiveness. Not the government, not Obama, not Trump, not Hillary Clinton, not any of these, not the corporations, of course. But they're, you know, this was enormous. This was a minor victory. And a lot of people are still there because they don't know what's going to happen. And when Trump comes in this Friday, January the 20th, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, immigration people are scared. The Muslims are scared. Mexicans are scared. He said he's going to build a wall. There are so many things that this man has said that are so crazy and awkward. And on the show with a couple people in the next few weeks, we're going to predict what's going to happen with Donald Trump and his downfall. Yes, there'll be a downfall. And we have some ideas what's going to happen because it's obvious the way he's doing things. Women don't like him. Natives don't like him. People of color, blacks don't like him. Latinos don't like him. He's done so much damage. He's Muslims. It's incredible. Okay, I'm excited, as you can see. Now, that's an issue that happened, and it's over with now. And to some degree, you won't hear the news as much, but it's still there. And if and when they get that pipeline going again, it's going to cause more problems for all of us. So people are going to get together again. I know they are. I've talked to them. We will have a Native American leader on the show in the next few weeks, so hang in with that, for that. All right, let's go to Dr. Martin Luther King. He would have been 88 years old today. Today's his birthday, January the 16th. It's a holiday. He was born in 1929 in the South. This is a great, great man. I have to tell you, I had five people that I looked up to and were my heroes, my mentors, my gurus. And most of them had passed away by then. But Mother Teresa was one of them. She fed the poor. She was in Calcutta, India, and went all around India. People gave her money. They gave her clothes. They gave her food. She gave it right away to the poor. She lived with the poor. She lived poorly, Mother Teresa. Another one, Gandhi. That's one of the mentors for Dr. King, by the way. Gandhi was a believer in nonviolence and peace and getting people together. He got the Hindus and the Muslims together when they were fighting. And he went on a fast, and he was dying. They came in, and they finally made peace because they didn't want him to die. Great man. Great, great man that knew how to get people together. Another one is Dr. Martin Luther King, who we're going to talk about shortly. Another one was Cesar Chavez. Not just because I'm Latino or Mexican American, but he did a lot. He put together the biggest ever boycott in this country, the Great Boycott, back in the 60s. He fought for the farm workers who were being really horribly treated by the farmers, the big companies, Big Agra, and the companies that paid these people very little money, didn't give them any health benefits, didn't give them anything. They paid them poorly, and they sprayed them with spray all over the fields while they were working. Yes, while they were working. And they wind up getting a lot of cancer, a lot of sickness. Chavez went on a fast protest. He went on several fasts, just water. The last one he went on was for a month, and he got very sick, eventually died. He believed in the cause, and people know about him. Unfortunately, a lot of students, young students, when you say the name Cesar Chavez, they say, oh, you're talking about Julio Cesar Chavez, the boxer. No, we're talking about the great Cesar Chavez. But, you know, that's history. They don't teach this in school. They don't teach any of this good stuff in school. But that's why we have Progressive Radio Network. Stefan, your comments on whatever I said up to this point about the Native American issues and Dr. Martin Luther King, we're going to start in a minute, but the Native issues. I know you, and you had some experiences with that, so you can detail that right now if you'd like, but I'd rather you detail it a little more towards the end, because I want to get into the Dr. Martin Luther King stuff that I have. But give me 2 or 3 minutes of your thoughts up to this point, please.
Well, we should just be all working together as one and not fighting against something that has occurred many years ago, no matter who becomes president here, too. We have to work together as a team to keep growing in this area. I recently, this past weekend, I had a friend pass away last week, and he was up in the Rincon area, it's called, here in San Diego, in Valley Center, in the Native American community. And we went up to the Indian reservation there to have a ceremony for him, and it was very symbolic, and the tribal ceremony, very heartwarming. Great people, and of which we are all around, but what I say in this world and in this life is what we resist persists, and we can't keep fighting things that, you know, we need to work together to make things happen. And that happens in my coaching business and in life in general. If you fight something, instead of being anti-war, be pro-peace. And that's what we're working for here, to work together to make everyone get along, and hopefully, you know, we can do the right things with Trump in office here. There's a lot of change going on, and people don't like it, but we need to accept it. You know, he's here, and this is what we got to do, is work together and grow together.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that at the end, you and I, and come up with some thoughts as to what people can do at more length. Also, if you have any more information on what you saw, Native American culture and the celebrations, I'd like to hear a little more on that towards the end of the show. We'll do that. Listeners, I'm Bobby Elias. That is Stefan Rudolph, you just heard. He is our co-host of the show and the host. And the show is Let's Create a Better World. We're doing more and more on health, body, mind, spirit, aging. We've got some great shows coming up in the near future. Next week, January 23rd, Christine Dekus will be on with myself and Stefan to talk about some theories and some ideas that she has, some great ideas on what people can do. She can actually counsel us on what people can do to get depressed, when they get lonely, when they get upset, sad. There's a lot of things that she can teach us. She'll give us a 101 on all that next week, January 23rd, here on our show at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time. And then we always put our best shows on the archive. So, and we'll give you that number at the end of the show so you can hear that. Let's resume. Let me resume with notes, and then I want Stefan's thoughts on the Martin Luther King situation. But going back to the native issue, we'll have a speaker 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks from now, depending on who I can get and when they can be available. But we're going to get into that, what's going on with Standing Rock, the Native American movement, because basically, Stefan, these two movements are intertwined. The same things happened in the 60s as just happened a month ago and 5, 6 weeks ago. For about a week straight, the police came in and they hosed the Native Americans. They sent dogs. The dogs bit them. There was blood all over the place. And they just completely pushed them away. And it was just completely violent. This is not the way to treat people, especially people fighting for a good cause. And they were very, very, very peaceful doing this. They were just demonstrating. But that's what the corporations asked for. That's where the big money people that are backing up the Dakota pipeline, they wanted to put a stop. They couldn't. No, they couldn't, because people are too strong for that. So many years that America has gone to Vietnam and other places, and these countries resist. They fight back. They may lose a lot of lives, but they fight back and they don't give up. And we wind up going to wars for nothing. But the same thing with what's going to happen now with this Native American issue and with the Black civil rights movement. People are not going to give up. They're standing up. Right now, people are standing up more than ever. Guess what, Stefan? Starting January 20th, it's coming Friday this week, when Donald Trump is inaugurated, there's going to be a million women march, what I heard. They're going to be out there. A lot of women are going to be there to protest because he is a woman hater. He's sexually abused 12 women on record, not to count others, many others that were abused by him in different ways. We'll talk about that in the future. So there's going to be a lot of activity there, and whatever he does against Native Americans, whatever he does against Mexicans, against Black people, against Muslims, against other people of color, the women, the gays, for all the people that are disenfranchised in this country, people are going to get up, and they're going to act, and they're going to do something. We'll be talking about that in the next few weeks, for sure. All right, let's get to the Dr. Martin Luther King issue. First of all, as I said earlier, today would have been his birthday, 88 years, if he was still alive. But he was killed in 1968, April, in Memphis, Tennessee, when the garbage collectors were protesting the money, the rights, the health benefits, and the way they were being treated. Horrible. He came in to help them. But here's what happened. That day, the government, I'll name some more people as I go through my notes here, said, we're not going to let him come out of the city alive. We've got to stop him because he was a big, big factor. He was planning to have 500,000 people go to Washington, D.C. and stay there and protest. A nonviolent protest, of course, because that's what he was. You know, Malcolm X was not violent, nonviolent, and neither were Black Panthers and other groups. But, you know, it took nonviolence and it took violence to change the Black civil rights movement, at least to some degree, not totally. So what happened was at Martin Luther King, they had a plan to kill him. They had two sharpshooters. It wasn't the guy they said killed. Two other sharpshooters were ready. Two of the best guys in the Army were trained as sharpshooters. One was the main shooter, and the other one was a backup. And they were perched and ready to shoot him. And they were watching the old motel. They were hoping he'd walk out of the motel. Sure enough, he did. He walked out of his room in the motel on the second floor, Memphis, Tennessee. Walked out to look at it was a beautiful day that day, and he would just walked out to take a breath of fresh air and just walk. They saw him. They shot him. They killed him. Not quite. Now, here's the irony of the story. Everyone thought he was dead. He fell down. They tried to recuperate him. They took him to a hospital. He was still alive. People don't know about it. He was still alive. Went to the doctor's office. Now, remember, there are a lot of bad people that wanted this man dead. A lot of them. Government officials, police, even the doctors, yeah. And we have a nurse that was a witness to this, and she spoke up. And the man that shot him, actually shot him, has become friends with the lawyer. It was trying to fight for and defend Martin Luther King through all the different battles that he had. And I'll give you his name in a little while, and I'll go through my notes. But this is the essence of the story. Stefan, your thoughts on what I've said so far and what you know, and because you know this show, we talk a lot about these things. Your thoughts on that, please.
Yeah, I don't have too much background as far as the history itself. I know Martin Luther King was a great person. I studied him in college quite a bit and have always been a fan of his and what he's done for people when it came to the change. And, of course, me being born after this time period, I wasn't around at that time, but what I see that shifted was his positive energy and positive influence on educating people about what to do and who to be as far as what being their own leader, not a follower. And that's what he did in influencing the lives of others. And some people, you know, when you the harder you push to change things, the more people want to get rid of you. And that's what it was in his time and what he went through. There was a lot of change going on. And you know, Bobby, as you lived through it, but people didn't want that. And that's what happens, you know, they end up just resorting to the only means that they know, and that's killing people, which is horrible, you know, instead of trying to work together. And as you mentioned with Trump and everything, there's people out there that hate him. You never know, this could be the next step for people, you know, going after him too. But Martin Luther King, on the other hand, was focused on positive change and growth and working together. And I read a couple of his books and studied him pretty intensely in college. It just amazed me how he wanted and what he did to change people and change and help people grow together, because we have to work together, you know, not fight together. That was a big part of his influence on me.
Wow. Yes, I know. And people are studying that. And unfortunately, with history and schools, they get away from these issues. They don't talk about the real things that happened some years ago. People just talk about the most current things, the whole system and the whole government changed the world. TV. You know, years ago, Stefan, in the 60s and 70s, as a young kid, but they showed on television the war in Vietnam. Yes, they showed people dying, being shot down. The reporters there, TV crews were there. Some of them got hurt, injured, and or killed. Yes. And it was crazy, a crazy time, but we got to see it. I remember when George Bush came in, there was still a little bit of ugliness and violence going on TV, but he put a stop to anything that was derogatory to the United States, anything that he didn't want people to see. He didn't want people to see the truth, what this country's behind. This country's got 1,000 bases with soldiers all over this world. 80% of the countries have United States soldiers. They're supposedly to protect the country. No. They're there to protect the corporations, the big money people. That's what they're there for. Let me get to some more notes that I have here. So bear with me, everyone. As I go through these notes, I'm going to stumble a little bit because I want to bring out a number of issues that I've put together over the last week to talk about this in case I was going to talk about it 10, 15 minutes after our Native American guest, but he didn't show up. And now we're putting a little more on Dr. Martin Luther King today because it's his day, and a little less on the Native American issue. So let me let our listeners know I'm Bobby Elias, and with me is Stefan Rudolph, our co-host, who's going to have some nice things to say at the end about not only his work, but we're going to talk about that the guest next week, that she and I will just talk about. I'll give you some phone numbers where you can have numbers, different people. Next week we have Dr. Christine Peekus. She is a hypnotherapist with some great ideas on what's going on. She meets people all the time that are lonely and pressed down. She has got some great new concepts of what you could be a very creative person. All right, so I'm Bobby Elias. This is Let's Create a Better World, and our show is on every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time. So let me get to our notes here on Dr. Martin Luther King. And we also have another gentleman who's been on the show before, Nathan Rabb. He may but call in any time now. He may not, if he's not able to get the message we left him at the time. So that's okay. Myself and Stefan will... He's on right now?
Yes.
Dr. Rabb, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling in. I'm sure glad that Dr. Peggy got you, got a hold of you. because we're talking about Dr. Martin Luther King right now.
Yeah, I've been listening.
Yes, sir. Yeah, this for our listeners, this is Dr. Nathan Rabb, a gentleman that grew up in the South, in South Carolina. He saw a lot of these things that were going on. This man's in his early 70s or mid-70s. He's been around, but he's still a young man. He's a naturopath. He does a lot of work for people. We're going to talk a little bit about health, but mostly about your days in the South, Dr. Rabb. Let me just say one or two more things, and then I want you to tell our listeners what it was like back in the day when you were in South Carolina, the South, what you saw, and then we're going to also talk about Dr. King. First of all, you grew up in South Carolina, and you're a naturopath now in Los Angeles. You've been on the show a year ago. You were on the show talking about Dr. King and about health. And I just want you to go ahead and right now give your story about how you grew up, what things were like in South Carolina as you grew up. Please, go ahead.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me on to share. I always like to talk about things as they were, and some of them have changed, some haven't so much. I was born July 5th, 1942, to the parents. My parents, Reverend Nathan Rabb Sr. and Susie Glenn Rabb was my mother. We had a farm in Jenkinsville, South Carolina, and I spent, 17 years of my life there before joining the military. During the early days, we would go shopping in Winnsboro, South Carolina, which was about 16 miles from the farm where we were in Jenkinsville. And my mother would always say to us, "Say yes, sir." Say yes. And we were saying yes, sir, and no, sir, to people who were our age. And, initially we were younger, of course, and they were, like young adults. They were, most of them were younger than my mother, and yet she was saying yes, sir. And that's what she told us. She said, "This is how I keep you safe. It's not going to hurt you to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am." So, that was a learned behavior during that period. Of course, once I joined the military, I was, came out to San Diego, and there were people in my company that were all nationalities. There were Hispanics, there were Indians, which if we look back far enough, we were all actually Indians, but we had a conglomeration of different nationalities that had to coexist in the same area. And many of those people, we were able to coexist as a group. In fact, it ended up early on being the recruit leader because I had a year of ROTC at South Carolina State in Orangeburg prior to joining the Navy. But getting back a little bit into the daily things going on in Jenkinsville, Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Keep talking. It's just a little.
Yeah, we were always taught to be courteous to anyone that was, a senior to you. And so it was always, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And we were raised like that to be respectful. And so it carried on to me wherever, whether the person was white, black, whatever. It was just a matter of respect. But there were incidents that took place, like the Emmett Till situation. I was very young when that happened. And there was a fear of just the state of Mississippi because of some things that happened. It was probably, things happening in South Carolina just as bad. But something about it that even when I was in the military and was traveling through the state of Mississippi, there was always a certain amount of nervousness. And there were people who lived there that were still going through that. But all of the different riots the beatings and the governor in Alabama trying to keep the three children out of the school, all that was a part of my maturation years in my teens and started to high school. I was 12, and a lot of those things were happening. And, as you go, you grow, you learn, you educate yourself. And I've never had a hatred for any nationality or person. But we felt that hatred coming at us. even traveling across country after getting out of boot camp in San Diego, made it all the way to San Antonio, Texas, before I was reminded that I was, you know, a Negro and I could not eat in the same area with the white people. So some things just didn't let you go. I mean, they didn't fall off while I was in California, even though it's problems here even till the day. It wasn't thrown in your face every day. You know, you could go into wherever you wanted to go and eat. There was nobody trying to prevent you from doing that. And this was like 1959. But we know there are things going on here as well. But that's how growing up in South Carolina was, because we didn't come into contact. And my father was treated very respectfully by all people, because he was born in 1890. And he was 52 when I was born. My mother was 24 years younger than my father. And the Caucasians in the area that my father did business with, he was a carpenter, he built houses, he was a farmer, he was a minister, but he was always respected. That was one thing that even the legislators in Columbia, they respected him. And he was the president of the NAACP in Jenkinsville. And we were fearful, my mother fearful, because we heard what was happening to other people who were, part of the NAACP and who were trying to, do things to make it better for melanated people. I don't like the word black. Black is not a nationality, it's a color. And so I don't use that term. But melanated people, dark-skinned people, people of hue or whatever, it was not so good for you. And often people were treated, different just because of the color of their skin. You could be intelligent. You could be somewhat, unintelligent, less educated or whatever. It still did not, elevate you above that same stuff that was happening with the people. You were still looked upon as colored or Negro or even nigger. There was a lot of different things that were said. We used to be walking home from school and the children on the school bus, the white, they'd go by and they'd yell out the window. And so a lot of that was a part of life. And then once getting into the military and sleeping in the same barracks with people of all different nationalities, it eased it somewhat. But the trip back to Carolina right out of boot camp, I mean, it was brought right back to my attention. But then since I was stationed in California for my service years, then you kind of got away from it. But even on a big aircraft carrier once, we had some stuff going on there because of racial differences. So it's something that was very difficult to get away from. But to this day, and going back to my 20s and 30s, I've never hated any person because of a skin color, and always felt that was just wrong to treat anybody that way. And saw Dr. King in his early days of trying to make a difference. And one thing I always noticed about him, he always talked about people coming together as brothers and sisters. I mean, his speech at the March on Washington, all of that, he never talked about just black people. And we were the ones that were being beat down and misused and abused. But he talked about little black children and little white children playing together. And that was part of his vision. And that, you know, the vision, he's not alive. He's moved on. But the vision is still there that people just, can't we all just get along? Why does it have to be, why do you have to be persecuted because of the color of your skin? Is this something that happened in history where maybe there was a point where the pharaohs or whoever, somebody was domineering over some other group? There were indentured servants came here from Ireland and different places. So, but there's a deep ingrained, this spirit in a lot of people with this hatred. And then with President Barack Obama being elected, that, everybody was thinking, oh, it's going to be great now for us, yada, yada. No, he wasn't elected for that purpose.
Right.
It's a lot more to that than I even want to get involved in talking about. But we saw things there that it got even worse. Like now with this, where recently they had to coin the organization Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. So why did it have to get to a point where, you know, people were just being shot, young men being killed? You can say, well, some of it was because of their actions, but you know, is there some kind of justice in just shooting a person or killing somebody because you don't believe like they do, or because what are they taking something from? Whatever it is, there's a hatred, there's an underlying hatred there that still goes on. And my prayer is that, you know, I'm 74 years young at this point, and I've been into the holistic health business for 40 years. And I've dealt with every kind of person you can think of. I have people come to my facility here in Los Angeles. I mean, in Inglewood, California, which is Los Angeles. This is a small city right connected to it. All nationalities, religions. I went to New York and worked with the Jewish people. They've come here. So I don't hate anybody for any reason. You know, I love everyone, and I would appreciate it if they would treat me likewise. But I understand that's not universal. It's not everyone. There are those who still, just because of the color of your skin, and they want to mislabel you, misname you, call you out of your name, a lot of different things. Dr. King was a champion for justice. He wasn't just us, but we were the ones that needed the help the most because we were the ones that were being persecuted the most. But in his works, his speeches, and all the things that he did, he always talked about trying to get people to come together on one accord, because we have much, much larger issues than hating each other because of what? Because at one point you were enslaved. We weren't born slaves. This is something that happened as man's inhumanity to man. And now all of a sudden, we've been told things like, go back to Africa. Well, my family and heritage is South Carolina, in the Cherokee Nation. My mother had some Cherokee Indian. My father probably as well. I know my grandfather on my mother's side was. All of this, some of us never were anywhere else, because after all, this was North Africa until the great earthquake that created the Atlantic Ocean. So there's just a lot of confusion out there, and if we could all just get beyond that and start looking at each other as being a human being, a member of God's family, and treat everyone the way you want to be treated, then we could overcome a lot of this. But some of this hatred will last on and on and on, because it's being nurtured, it's being fed. And I'm not one into doing that. I've taught my children, my son, my daughter, do not hate anyone for hate. In fact, hate incapacitates your ability to love. So practice love and respect. And you know, if you command it, you should be able to get it. But in many instances, we can command it and we still don't get it. But, you know, I'm not giving up on life. I'm not giving up on people. Somewhere along the line, maybe it's after I've transitioned to the next plane, things must get better. The warring must stop among people living in the same land, and you know, attempting to do the same things: earn a living, raise your children, and be viable in a community, have something to contribute, and not be treated as if you're some type of an alien and you need to leave and go somewhere else. Go back to Africa. Go. I've never been. Might visit sometime, but I've never been. My ancestors were right here. They were indigenous people. And so there's a lot of confusion everywhere, and it's just that some have taken on the attitude that this is our country. We came over and took it from the Indians. We took, you know, everything was through strong-arm tactics. But this is God's land, and all of us who are inhabiting it, our main concern should be to keep it safe, where our grandchildren and their grandchildren can live here also. And we're polluting it quite extensively today. A lot of things are going on that are harmful and injurious to all of us. And my prayer and my focus is on teaching people how to live a better quality of life, with natural things that the earth provides and not from a lot of man-made chemicals that are making a lot of us sick and making us more dependent upon drugs and all these different situations. So I don't know how much how long you wanted me to talk, but I've pretty well said what I want to say. And I appreciate you asking me to do this. I'm never lost for words, but I pray that this too will change.
Dr. Rabb, thank you. I'd like to have you on again in a few months to talk about your work as a naturopath. What I like about you, because I've seen you work, and I've seen you talk to people, you are real down to earth. You give them the real facts about what foods they're eating that are wrong, what foods they should eat, supplements, vitamins, how to exercise, stay alive. You get into all that. You know, I want you on again real soon because you're excellent at all that, and you have a lot of common sense. You're a down-to-earth person. I love you as a friend. Thank you so much for being with us today, and we'll have you on again soon, okay?
I look forward to the experience, and thank you for inviting me this time.
You're very welcome. All right. That was Nathan Rabb speaking. He is a holistic doctor, a naturopath, and he grew up in the South. Oh, this is wonderful. I'm going to say a few things about Dr. King real quickly. We will have a Native American show on in a few weeks. Talk about Fannie Rock and civil rights. Because if you notice what Dr. Rabb said, in his family, he's got Native American blood. Years ago, I mean, you could go back to the Seminoles in Florida. A lot of slaves ran to the South, and they went to the Seminole tribe that took them in, and they mixed. And the Cherokees also took in a lot of blacks. And so we black people have Indian blood, and we're brothers. We're all brothers. Every race on this planet is a human race. Anyway, let me say a few things, and then, Stefan, we don't have much time left here, but I'll make it quick to this point, and then, Stefan, I'd like you to get at least 1 minute on something. Back in the day, in the restrooms, lunch counters, in the big city parks, blacks could not go. The library, they couldn't go anywhere. The same way the Native Americans were treated in Sandy Rock, dogs, hoses, water, just, and the police beating on people. This was bad. Dr. King says that the riots were because people wanted to, very little came out of the riots, he says. We should be more nonviolent because they actually did the war on poverty, but that was about it. And he gone that. We're going to talk more about this, but Dr. King also says stick with love. He said that in his day, there were in the South, the only experiences that most of black people had were Klansmen, Ku Klux Klan, the white citizens downing them, talking bad about them. Hate was big time all through the South. It was terrible. And he says, though, we want to have a better world now, and he says he stands by nonviolence. These are a few things he said. So, Stefan, take a quick minute and just hear your thoughts on anything that we just said, then I'm going to hurry up and get to thank you, everybody, and finish the show with that great song that we started at the beginning of the show. We're going to play the whole thing out. Your thoughts. Stefan, are you there? Okay, no problem. Let me finish up the show by saying that the song will be on. It's We Shall Overcome by Joan Baez, 1963, when Dr. King gave his great talk, I Have a Dream. A spectacular day. Great day. My archive number, you want to hear some most recent shows, hit button 1 and 2, and that those number 1 and 2 may move to 2 and 3 or 3 and 4, but hit button number 1 right now is Dr. Christine Horner, talking about every folk thing of health, all this stuff. Dr. 2 is Ellie Lack,